Street. This is BillBot.com, the week in Georgia. In English, coming to you from San Francisco's Lower Haight. Today is Thursday, the 15th of December, 2016. On this date in 1917, Russia's new Bolshevik government signs an armistice agreement with the Central Powers, the German Empire, Austro-Hungarian Empire, Ottoman Empire, and Bulgaria. Russia gets out of the war for good on the 3rd of March, 1918, when it signs the Treaty of Brest-Litovsk with the Central Powers. 1939, Gone with the Wind premieres at Lowe's Grand Theater in Atlanta, Georgia. Adjusted for 2014 prices, it grosses nearly $3.5 billion worldwide, making it the most commercially successful film in history. 1961, Adolf Eichmann is sentenced to death by an Israeli court for crimes against humanity and against the Jewish people for his role as one of the engineers of the Holocaust. There's a great recently released German movie about how he was caught called The People Against Fritz Bauer. 1978, U.S. President Jimmy Carter announced the United States will recognize the People's Republic of China for the first time, sever all diplomatic relations with Taiwan. This happened 7 years after the People's Republic becomes a U.N. member and takes Taiwan's permanent seat on the Security Council. Birthdays are Roman Emperor Nero and Gustav Eiffel. I'm your host, Mark Mullen. The podcast is written by Joe Larson. If you'd like to comment or ask a question, go to tpeelpod.com or send us an email at tpeelpod@gmail.com. Visa liberalization for Georgia and Ukraine was approved at a special meeting in Brussels on the 13th of December that involved the European Parliament, European Council, and European Commission. According to EU Council President Miloslav Lajak, everything has been agreed between the three bodies for granting visa liberalization. Now a few bureaucratic hurdles have to be dealt with. They have negotiated everything and have the final deal, but there's still a few approvals that need to happen. The issue will be discussed the 20th of December at the representatives of the member states, the EU Council, who need to formally confirm the Council's approval. It's now expected that the European Parliament will vote on liberalization soon. Prime Minister Kvitikashvili tweeted that he expects it to happen in January. If they approve it, it will go to the member states for ratification. Andreas Mimikins, the member of the European Parliament, says he expects final document to be signed on the 7th of April of next year and for visa-free travel to be implemented by the end of that month. Visa liberalization would mean that Georgians can visit the Schengen area without a visa for up to 90 days during any 180-day period, with the Schengen area including all EU member states except for Ireland, the United Kingdom, Croatia, Cyprus, Romania, and Bulgaria. Iceland, Liechtenstein, Norway, and Switzerland are a part of the Schengen area. Although, as I'm sure you know, they are not a part of the European Union. They are a part of the European Economic Community, though. Anyway, Parliamentary Chairman Irakli Kobakhidze announced plans to set up a constitutional reform commission that will work on a package of constitutional amendment proposals. Be careful of those packages of amendments that tend to come through. The national movement used to send those through and put all sorts of whacked out things in there. Commission will work for the next several months and proposals will be presented at the end of April 2017. The commission will involve representatives from civil service, cabinet, the judiciary, parliamentary and non-parliamentary parties, civil society organizations, and other independent experts. Kobakhidze said he's taking personal responsibility for the work of the commission and other proposed amendments that are assessed, and any proposed amendments that are assessed negatively by the EU's Venice Commission won't be approved by Parliament. He specifically mentioned revising the Constitution to strengthen checks and balances between the different branches of government, meaning they're going to make the presidency much less significant. The president's office was supposed to be represented in the Constitutional Reform Commission, too, but they're boycotting it, saying the format lacks political trust and political legitimization. They view the commission not as a way of building public consensus for reforms, but as a vehicle for ensuring that Otsneba gets the reforms it wants. They want more public and open debate. President Mark Vlaashvili proposed to co-chair the commission along with Prime Minister Kvitikashvili and Parliamentary Speaker Kobakhidze. But Otsneba rejected that proposal. Kobakhidze will chair it by himself. Without the president's office involved, the commission will include the following people: two representatives of the government, the chairpersons of the Constitutional Court and Supreme Court, the heads of legislative and executive bodies of the Adjara and Abkhaz Autonomous Republic and public defender, the president of the National Bank, chairperson of the State Audit Office, representatives of non-governmental organizations. Be interesting to see who they appoint. 23 members of OTSNEBA, 6 members of the National Movement, 1 member of the Alliance of Patriots, oh my gosh, and 1 representative each from the Free Democrats, Burjanadze Democrats, yikes, State for the People, and Labor Party. Draft resolution for setting up the commission still needs to be approved by Parliament. Prosecutor, what will be interesting to see is if they publish the actual method by which they intend to do it, when the drafts will come out, how they will be looked at, and whatever else. My guess is that whether or not Margo Lashvili's charge is accurate will be decided by how precise those procedures are. If they don't ever publish how they're going to work, then probably Margo Lashvili is right. The Prosecutor General's Office charged one man and opened an investigation into another man with connection to the photographer's case, a 2011 case when 4 news photographers were completely unjustifiably tried and convicted of spying for Russia. The prosecutor generals upheld claims by the 4 photographers that they pled guilty under pressure from the authorities and that they were arrested in retaliation for their taking photos of police officers violently cracking down on protesters on the 26th of May, 2011. One of them, Irakli Gedenidze, said he pleaded guilty because police threatened to blackmail him with nude photos of him and his wife. The sentence of all 4 of the photographers were annulled in 2013 after the prosecutor general found evidence of miscarriage of justice. The man charged this week is David Devnozashvili, a former high-ranking official in the Interior Ministry's Counterintelligence Department. He's charged with abuse of power for using force and humiliation when interrogating the photographers. One of the photographers, Gyorgy Abdaladze, wants the prosecutor general to find out whose orders Devnozashvili was acting on. So you know, the photographers had done nothing wrong, and it was completely a setup by the National Movement and Interior Ministry authorities. In travel to and from Georgia, Energy Minister Kakhi Kaladze met with representatives from Russian energy companies Gazprom Export and Interral this week in Vienna and Minsk, respectively. According to the Energy Ministry, the meetings are part of an annual bilateral negotiation. Gazprom proposed converting Georgia's annual gas shipment, which is a transit fee for allowing Russian gas to pass into Armenia, into cash. The Energy Ministry rejected this as they don't like the amount that Gazprom is offering. Tedo Japaridze is Prime Minister's new advisor for foreign relations. The veteran diplomat was the chairman of the Committee for Foreign Relations in the previous Georgian Dream-led parliament. Before that, he was secretary for Edward Shevardnadze's National Security Council from 2002 to 2003, before serving as foreign minister from 2003 to 2004 under the National Movement government. Found out that he was no longer the foreign minister and Salome Zurabashvili was the newly appointed foreign minister on television, making him very ticked off at Misha, completely justifiably, and his many friends in Washington also quite annoyed at how that worked. Before that, he served as ambassador to the U.S., Canada, and Mexico over the years 1994 to 2002. He has also worked as a public policy scholar at the Woodrow Wilson Institute in Washington, D.C. There was a large-scale protest in Tbilisi on the 10th of December with demonstrators speaking out against Georgia's hardline policy against recreational drug users. A large group of people gathered in front of the parliament building on Rustaveli Avenue, and when they blocked the street, police moved to disperse them. 2 people were detained for resisting police and were released the next day. The protest was organized by the White Noise Movement, whose members advocate decriminalization of recreational drug use. They also want to replace the current punishment approach with a healthcare approach. They demand that the government immediately start softening punishments and declare decriminalization to be their ultimate goal. Georgian Dream Member of Parliament Levan Gogichaishvili was spotted among the demonstrators. The 10th was chosen as the day for the protest because it is International Human Rights Day. European Investment Bank will put 450 million euros into Georgian infrastructure and economic development projects through 3 separate loan agreements. 250 million euro will be spent on upgrading roads and bridges. 100 million will go for the rehabilitation and upgrade of municipal infrastructure. 100 million will be invested in supporting small and medium-sized enterprises in the horticulture and wine sectors. European Union Monitoring Mission, or EUMM, extended its mandate until the 14th of December 2018 The mission started after the August 2008 war and monitors compliance with the ceasefire agreement that ended the war. The mission is led by Lithuanian diplomats Kęstutis Jankauskas and has around 200 unarmored monitors in Georgia. EUMM observers don't have access to Abkhazia and South Ossetia, however. National Movement News, the party dismissed about 20 members from its central office, allegedly due to financial constraints. Party's budget was cut by 100,000 lari following the outcome of the parliamentary elections. According to Democracy and Freedom Watch, most of those fired are close to party activist Chiora Taktakashvili, who is one of Misha's guys, Sergo Ratiani, who's closer to Giga Bulgaria and considered one of the anti-Misha people, said that personal or political motivations have nothing to do with it. It's just about money. National Movement member Givi Targamadze was called into the prosecutor's office for questioning. As you may recall, Targamadze's car exploded in central Tbilisi a few days before the parliamentary elections. The prosecutor wants to speak with him about that. Panta Burchiladze announced he's quitting politics to get back into his career as an opera singer, State for the People. The political party he founded will be taken over by historian Nika Machutadze. The party failed to pass the 5% threshold for getting into parliament. A Georgian man got into trouble with local fans when they caught him taking a nude selfie. After the alleged incident, the man posted a video on Facebook where he is sitting in a car with two other men apologizing for his inappropriate behavior and for insulting the culture and traditions of Sfaneti. Some people have been critical of the video, speculating that the man was threatened into apologizing and are calling on the police to investigate. The police said they'll only do this if the man files a complaint, which he has not. A man named Nika Cherkezashvili has been standing outside the government building in Tbilisi since Sunday, refusing to leave until he gets a personal audience with the prime minister. Cherkezashvili was fired from his position at the Justice Ministry in 2015. He thinks the firing was illegal and he wants the prime minister to help him. He took his case to court earlier this year, but they ruled in favor of the Justice Ministry, saying it was within their rights to fire him. Locals in Ajada saved two boys from being buried alive by an avalanche in Hulo municipality. The boys were standing at the side of the road when an avalanche covered them. Luckily, some good Samaritans were there to dig them out and take them to the hospital. They're fine. The killer of American tourist Fritz Musser was convicted and sentenced to 10 years in prison last week. The killer, Mikhail Chincharashvili, pled guilty to all charges, although the media hasn't reported anything about why he killed Musser. He stabbed him repeatedly after the two got into an argument at a roadside near Tel Aviv back in August. A 20-year-old man from Pankisi was killed this week in Syria. The man, Ramzan Bagkashishvili, left Pankisi to join Daesh back in 2015. At least 20 Georgians have been killed fighting for Daesh in Syria, according to Democracy and Freedom Watch. The Georgian Orthodox Church will build a new Holy Trinity Church near Khudadov Forest in Tbilisi. The church will be dedicated to the repentance of women who have had abortions and later regretted them, as well as the repentance of doctors who have performed abortions. That's reported by the news site panarmenian.net. And has not been picked up by any Georgian sites as far as we know. Some of the frescoes in the 12th century Galati Monastery near Kutaisi were damaged this week by heavy rains. Restorers working on the site said the frescoes aren't destroyed, but they may lose their original appearance. Galati is listed as a UNESCO World Heritage Site in danger. It's currently undergoing rehabilitation works with help from the U.S. Embassy. Police arrested one person for stealing rare books from the National Library in Tbilisi. The man has pled guilty to stealing one book from the 18th century and another from the 19th century. Marnauli got a new 500-kilowatt substation, which will supply electricity to Tbilisi and Kfemo-Kartli. The substation cost $20 million to build and was made possible by a partnership between the Georgian State Electro System and Asian Development Bank. It's one of several electrical infrastructure projects the two institutions are working on together under the Regional Power Transmission Enhancement Project. A Georgia-Korea Information Access Center opened in Tbilisi this week. The center is located in the Mirza Gelovani Youth Library, and its purpose is to help people with impaired vision and other disabilities access the internet. South Korean government put up about $224,000 to update the library, which will now be more accessible to people with disabilities. Government efforts to prop up the lari don't seem to be working so hot, at least not yet. The lari fell to 2.6599 per dollar on Tuesday afternoon, and some exchange kiosks were selling dollars at 2.7 lari per. The lari has lost more than half its value since November 2014, when it started dropping against the dollar. Raising the interest rates to support the lari was discussed at a national bank meeting this week, but they decided to keep the benchmark rate at 6.5%, mostly because inflation has been very low. The next Monetary Policy Committee meeting is scheduled for the 25th of January. Geostat published data on foreign direct investment during the third quarter of 2016. FDI amounted to $463 million in the quarter, down 4% from the same period last year. However, FDI for all three quarters combined is up 5% from 1 year ago. The largest sources are Azerbaijan, Turkey, and, you guessed it, Luxembourg. Geostat also has numbers in foreign trade during the first 11 months of this year. Total trade has amounted to $10.83 billion, an increase of 22% from the same period in 2015. Exports have fallen by 5%, while imports are up 29%. However, with excluding the large amount of exports, of imports accounted for by hepatitis C medications, mostly from Canada, imports are actually down slightly from last year. Geostat is also down on domestic travel within Georgia during the third quarter of 2016. 1.23 million Georgian adults visited another region of Georgia, spending about 200 million lari in the process. About 260,000 of those people went to Tbilisi, 250,000 going to Imereti, 160,000 going to Ajada. Central Bank published data on the banking sector through the first three quarters of 2016. Bank of Georgia is the country's largest bank, with 9.171 billion lari in assets. Its annual profits are up 6.5% from the same period last year. Central Bank denied rumors that Russia's Alpha Bank will enter the Georgian market, something that was reported by several media outlets. Turkish company Anadolu Tasit Tikaret AS will build a new $90 million 50-megawatt hydropower plant on the Khedula River in Lower Svaneti. They previously financed construction of the Paravani hydropower plant in Samska Javakheti. National Wine Agency is putting on a number of Saperavi wine tastings this month in Washington, D.C. Restaurants and wine shops around the city will be hosting tastings where visitors can try different varieties of Saperavi. So far this year, Georgia has exported about 294,000 bottles of wine to the U.S., a 27% increase from 2015. Information on that at the National Wine Agency website. French TV channel TF1 named pianist Khatia Buniatashvili their musician of the year. TF1 is France's most watched TV station. In parliamentary news, the government submitted to Parliament a revised 2016 budget, which cuts the economic growth forecast from 3% to 2.7%. Tax revenues were also revised downward, about 90 million lari, with expenditures increasing by 130 million lari. All of this means that the budget deficit for 2016 will be higher than expected when the budget was originally passed at the end of 2015. Surprise, surprise. Parliament is expected to approve the amendment to the budget by the 23rd of December. Parliament's also approved the 2017 draft budget, which was submitted in its most recent form on the 5th of December. Budget projects economic growth of 4% next year. Total expenditures will be about 9 billion lari, with the largest amount going to the Ministry of Health, Labor, and Social Protection, Ministry of Regional Development and Infrastructure, and the Ministry of Education, which will each get more than a billion lari. The meme this week is a Christmas carol performed by Kitty Melua with help from the Gori Women's Choir. The Ukrainian folk carol, The Little Swallow, was performed live for the BBC. Georgia Today interviews Rebecca Friesen, the widow of Fritz Müser, the American murdered near Tel Aviv in August. It's really quite interesting. She's a very thoughtful and kind person. I would encourage everybody to read it. Georgi Lomsadze writes for Eurasianet about the European Union agreement on a visa liberalization suspension mechanism, which gets Georgians and Ukrainians closer to being able to travel to Europe visa-free. easier travel should deepen ties between the EU and Georgia and should give Georgians a sense that they are considered stakeholders in the European project. Debbie Dubadze writes for the Eurasia Daily Monitor about the merger of military forces between Abkhazia and Russia. Russia is strengthening its belt of military bases that stretch from Crimea to Abkhazia to South Ossetia to Armenia. He says, with the implication that it is a response to NATO's buildup of forces in the Black Sea. Social Science in the Caucasus continues a series about blog posts about how Georgians view members of other ethnic groups. This post looks at views on marriage between Georgian women and men of other ethnicities. Ukrainians, Russians, Americans, Abkhaz get the highest approval rating, which are still kind of low, about 50% or so or lower. The highest disapproval ratings are for marriages between Georgian women with Kurds, Turks, Iranians, and Azerbaijanis. As expected, younger urban higher educated people are more approving in general of mixed marriages involving Georgian women. It's sort of a bigotry target list. It's quite interesting, but still the overall numbers, even of the youngest, most educated urban dwellers, are only about 60% approval for the most acceptable countries, bizarrely. Gila Medvashvili of Virginia Tech and Anna Maria Kis of Central European University co-authored a paper on national security perceptions in Georgia. Perceptions have actually changed quite a bit. 2005 national security concept didn't view Russia as a serious threat. That had obviously changed by 2011, although part of the reason why is because they had not rewritten the national security concept so quickly. They only really came into power at the beginning of 2004. Georgia's policies towards Russia became more conciliatory after Georgian Dream came into power, but the perception of Russia as Georgia's main threat seems to be permanent now. I would date that from the arrest of the Russian spies in 2006, but that's just me. The ISET blog looks at how the number of Georgians employed in different economic sectors has changed. It was published in November. We came across it fairly recently, and it's worth sharing. About 57% of the workforce is involved in agriculture compared to only 4% in manufacturing. Unfortunately, agriculture only accounts for 9% of GDP because it's mostly subsistence agriculture. And despite the hard work of everybody putting into it, for a developing country like Georgia, some say it's important that more workers move out of agriculture into higher productivity sectors. The question is, with that, which way causality runs. Politico Europe is running a somewhat dubious article arguing that Russia's meddling helped Georgian Dream win the parliamentary elections in 2012. The author Melek Kaylan compares Bidzina to Donald Trump, arguing that both are pro-Russian, anti-establishment figures who present themselves as defenders of common people against corrupt international financial elites. He also makes the bizarre claim that Georgian Dream is an alt-right conservative movement. I mean, there are certainly bizarre nationalists within the fold, but then again, there are a lot of Georgia in general. It's not really necessarily accurate in my view, but it is interesting. EU publishes an infographic on attitudes towards the EU among Georgians. They find that 52% of Georgians view the EU positively, compared to only 8% who view it negatively. Also, the main values associated with it are freedom and human rights. Interestingly, Georgians are significantly more likely to trust the EU than to trust NATO. For German speakers, the magazine Zeit has an interview with Prime Minister Kvitikashvili, who speaks about his foreign policy vision. He says the situation has improved with regards to Russia. He thinks it's possible for Georgia to join NATO and still have a good relationship with Russia. Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty looks at Rex Tillerson, the nominee to become the next Secretary of State in the U.S. Tillerson has been CEO of ExxonMobil since 2006, has longstanding ties to Russia and to Vladimir Putin due to the $500 billion deal they signed. He's worked for ExxonMobil since he graduated from the University of Texas in 1975. It's the only job he's ever had. He's been a critic of sanctions against Russia in retaliation for their invasion of Ukraine, saying sanctions are more likely to hurt foreign businesses operating in Russia than to hurt senior Russian officials. He's been silent on the Magnitsky sanctions. Of course, Tillerson has mildly criticized the Putin regime, too, pointing out that it doesn't respect rule of law just to cover Exxon's bases. All the stuff to read is posted on our forum. This week's dive bar number is 37, the number of new hotels that have opened in Georgia this year, according to the National Tourism Administration. That amounts to an additional 1,472 rooms. According to the Tourism Administration, 84 more hotels will be built through 2018. The Association for People in Need of Special Care, or APNSC, is putting on their Christmas Bazaar 16th of December. The proceeds will go to funding their daycare centers in Isani, which is also the location of the bazaar. For more information, send an email to info@APNSC@gmail.com. Georgian Foundation for Strategic and International Studies, or GFSIS, or the Rondelli Institute, which bizarrely they continue to refuse to call themselves, but should be called, is hosting a panel discussion on security cooperation in the Baltic countries on Friday, the 16th of December. It starts at 6:30 p.m. Speakers include Marina Kaljurand, former Minister of Foreign Affairs of Estonia, and Eke Dom, Director of the Estonian School of Diplomacy. To register, send an email to nkaldani, that's N as in November, Kaldani, at gfsis.org. The Josip Grishashvili Tbilisi History Museum is running an exhibition of photographs by German and Georgian photographers starting this week, headlined by works from German artists Victor Binstock and Michael Schaefer. The exhibition will run through the 14th of January. Some Georgians are putting on a 10-day musical and cultural trip to Svaneti this July, led by Nana Mzavanadze, a prominent ethnomusicologist. The destination is Lakushti Village, where guests will learn about polyphonic music, cheese and butter making, and a bunch of other stuff. The cost of the trip is 750 euros, airfare to Georgia not included. For more information, send an email to singgeorgia@gmail.com. Well, that's it for this week. My Twitter address is at TXTBUK. Our email is tbilpod@gmail.com or post to the forum on our website, www.tbilpod.com. And from 1982, Akron, Ohio, this is The Waitresses and Christmas Wrapping.